On the island of Britain, between the Atlantic Ocean and the North Sea, lies a haunted castle. Okay, yes, technically there are probably a bunch of haunted castles on this island. We're looking for Alnwick Castle in Northumberland in northern UK, in particular. Alnwick Castle, parts of which were founded in 1096, has a peculiar bamboo labyrinth in Alnwick Gardens that were created from 500 live evergreen perennial bamboo grasses. The jumbo-sized grassy bamboo reaches up and over the paved pathways, creating a natural arch and tunnel-like walkway. The shaded corridors wander, and upcoming tunnels await your visit in shadow. Google images of the labyrinth at Alnwick Castle do indeed confirm the dark corridors. But the labyrinth is not the darkest part of Alnwick Gardens, and I'm being deadly serious. Welcome to the Whispering Gallery, where I share spine-tingling and hard-to-believe art stories best told after dark. I'm Suzanne Nicolaisen, and I'm glad you're joining me to delve into the puzzling world of labyrinths and hedge mazes. Are they art, design, meditative tool, or simply a puzzle to be solved? We have arrived in this episode fresh from the island of Crete, where after a bit of digging, Sir Arthur John Evans bridged the Palace of Knossos on Crete to the story of King Minos and the Minotaur stuck in the labyrinth. About the Palace of Knossos, it wasn't the easiest thing to uncover the history, but it's like the Palace of Knossos was a multi-layered birthday cake. Knossos was settled 7,000 years ago. The first buildings were homes, and this was during the Neolithic period. During the Middle Neolithic, 5000 to 4000 BCE, there was a great house which could have been used kind of by everybody, like communal use. Then the first Cretan palaces were built at Knossos during the Minoan period, 2000 BCE. So those got destroyed, they think, by earthquakes. The big palace was built during the Bronze Age, 1350 BC. The palace was destroyed, most likely by earthquakes. I think we remember the story of Atlantis. One palace, there were administrative buildings, so they were built on top of each other, creating the labyrinthine space below being the last palace that was built upon. So it makes a lot of sense now, but it would have been kind of a creepy space to be, whether you were living there or conducting business. Let's get started and follow our noses into the unknown, taking that first step and find our way to the heart of things. Have you ever been in an unfamiliar dark room in the middle of the night and had to find your way out of the room? Maybe running your hand along the wall, waiting to hit the bump of a doorway or the plastic of a light switch? Was your hand up high enough to reach the light switch? Or have you missed it? It starts taking longer than it should? Me too. Speaking of finding our way through a maze or labyrinth, do you know how to get out of one? Choose a side in the maze and put your hand on the wall or hedge. It doesn't matter which side, but you need to stick with the side you choose and keep your hand against it. Eventually, as you walk, you will find your way out. If you find you're getting nowhere, there are standalone kind of islands in some. You might need to place something on the ground and go walking for a minute, and you may find yourself coming upon it again. At that point, you may be on one of these island standalone hedges or areas. Simply change to the other side, keep your hand on that side, and continue walking. So let's try this again. going into the unknown with no map to lead the way, but we know of two ways out. Using string tied outside to follow back and placing your hand along the wall so we have a bit of a safety net as we begin. But we're going to finish what we started at Alnwick Gardens, Poison Garden. Alnwick Castle has a poison garden. Yes, my friends, this is a thing. And cages over some plants to protect visitors who were warned not to touch them, and some have done so anyway. Yikes. They have iron gates that bar entrance unless you come with a guide. When I first heard about it, I was like, ooh, how interesting, do tell. Not that I had any sinister plans, just I was aware that certain plants, like the cute bell-like flowers of foxglove, are poisonous to humans and dogs. So this was just one plant to be careful with. But the Alnwick Poison Garden grows over 100 poisonous plants and is tucked away behind these locked black iron gates, marked with skull and crossbones, and a cautionary statement, these plants can kill. The iron gates open for guided tours lasting about 15 minutes. The garden includes opium poppies, monk's hood, aka wolf's bane, and a strychnine tree, and the gimpy gimpy, also known as the Australian stinging tree, part of the nettle family, is kept in a locked glass case with its own specialist. Even a brush with this plant will cause extreme pain. I've heard it compared to being burned by acid. I never want to find out. The Duchess of Alnwick stated, quote, during 2014, seven people fainted from inhaling toxic fumes while walking through the garden. People think we're being overdramatic when we talk about not smelling the plants, but I've seen the health and safety reports, unquote, the Duchess says. To continue to quote from Potter.co.uk Alnwick Gardens Treehouse Restaurant, the Duchess of Alnwick stated, its mission is drug education. It features 100 varieties of toxic plants, including cannabis, coca, opium poppies, the plant that is the source of ricin. If you're a terrorist or you want to know how to cultivate your own Class A drugs, the garden is your uni, unquote. That's the Duchess. She's pretty sassy. This was from pottertour.co.uk. The Duchess responds to criticism of her extravagant designs with a shrug. Quote, a lot of my ideas come from Las Vegas and Euro Disney, unquote, she admits. The Orto Botanico in Padua, the oldest extant academic botanical garden, founded in 1545 with its own poison garden that dates to the time of the Medicis. After a visit, Percy, quote, became enthralled with the idea of creating a garden of plants that could kill instead of heal, unquote, writes Geiling. She thought of it specifically as, quote, a way to interest children, unquote. As the Duchess says, quote, children don't care that aspirin comes from the bark of a tree. What's really interesting is to know how a plant kills you, and how the patient dies, and what you feel like before you die. What child doesn't wonder about such things? And if we teach kids how to avoid poisonous plants, they can keep the rest of us alive should we have to retreat into the woods and become foragers again. Poison Garden also grows plants from which common recreational drugs derive, like cannabis and cocaine, quote, as a jumping-off point for drug education, Geiling points out. That was from openculture.com 2021, the deadliest garden in the world. Atlas Obscura explains, because the danger posed by poisonous plants is very real, some can kill or sicken just through touch. Some plants are caged, and the garden is secured each evening behind gates under a 24-hour security watch. Thanks to YouTube Armchair Tourism, I have a general understanding of Alnwick Gardens, with refreshing fountains like the Great Cascade, which is a gentle stepped waterfall. There are vine-covered walkways, and for those of you who love gardening, a rose garden, espalier trees, and a cherry tree orchard with 350 great white Japanese cherry trees. Check the Whispering Gallery Facebook page for images of the labyrinth and gardens. I did say the castle is haunted, One of the ghosts is a gray lady, the apparition of a maid who fell down a chute and perished. Another story is kind of unusual, the haunting being done by a vampire. The whole story is pretty much a soap opera. But let's be real, it's all about the labyrinth today, so let's get back on track. Once upon a time, when lace-up roller skates, feathered hair, and bubblegum were hip, there were two guys that didn't see eye to eye. Stephen, a university-educated storyteller and author, and Stanley, who never darkened the door of film school, telling stories from books and making popular acclaimed movies his way, with generous creative changes, one of which you may recognize. The book, The Shining, by Stephen King, was published in January of 1977. And please note, this would be your spoiler alert, at least in regards to the famous labyrinth in The Shining movie. Actually, it was movie magic, not a real place. And it was completely different than the menacing, ambulatory, topiary animals in Chapter 23 of The Shining, the book. From Adrian Tyler on Screen Rant, published December 17, 2022, why Stanley Kubrick refused to read Stephen King's The Shining script. Quote, Stanley Kubrick famously Stephen King's novel, The Shining, into a horror movie of the same name, but he made so many changes to the story that it isn't seen as a proper adaptation of the novel. And Kubrick actually refused to read the script King had written for The Shining movie adaptation. Unquote. So why wouldn't Stanley even read the screenplay written by Stephen? I mean, it kinda seems like Stanley was being obstinate. The screenplay, after all, had been purchased to be made into a movie. In the end, Stanley changed the New York Times bestseller, published in 1977, The Shining, by Stephen King, from a ghost story, horror story, to a psychological horror story. Stephen called Stanley Kubrick's version of The Shining, quote, maddening, perverse, and disappointing film. Unquote. However, he also said it had, quote, a brilliance that is inarguable, unquote. This was from his book, Danse Macabre. Stephen talked about a call he had with Kubrick. Kubrick explained that he didn't believe in ghost stories because that implied the possibility that there was something after death, and he didn't believe in any of that. However, he believed ghost stories were fundamentally optimistic precisely because they suggested the existence of life after death. But when King brought up the concept of hell, Kubrick said he didn't believe in it. In Stephen's point of view, quote, some of us do. Cinema Tyler shares, quote, there was an interesting bit in an American film magazine which noted that Kubrick acquired many books on the supernatural. He would sit in his office and read. If after a few pages he didn't think the book was interesting, he'd, quote, fling it across the room against the wall, unquote. Apparently, Kubrick's secretary outside noticed that the sounds of books hitting the wall had stopped. She went in and found him reading The Shining. This is from the Kubrick Companion. Stephen King's take, quote, in the novel, The Shining, Jack Torrance is a difficult character, but he's fundamentally a sympathetic character. And I always visualized him as a piece of metal that's bent first one way and then the other by these malignant spirits who basically want his son, because his son is a psychically powerful person. Unquote. Stanley Kubrick saw the haunting as coming from Jack Torrance, from the Jack Nicholson character, whereas I always saw it form outside. So we had a fundamental difference of opinion about it. I always thought that the real difference between my take on it and Stanley Kubrick's take on it was this. In my novel, the hotel burns. In Kubrick's movie, the hotel freezes. It's the difference between warmth and cold. The images are striking, but to me, that's surface. It's not substance. So I used to describe The Shining, the film, as something like a beautiful car that had no engine in it, quoting Stephen King on Kubrick and The Shining from faroutmagazine.co.uk, why Stephen King hated Stanley Kubrick, The Shining. There was a definite difference of opinions. I wonder how Kubrick got away with doing his own thing when the studio had bought the script and he was working for them. Adam from Mythbusters highlights the build of the miniature maze as seen in the Colorado Room on his podcast. You can find this on our Facebook page, Whispering Gallery Stories, where I hope you'll follow us and be part of the conversation. As the episodes come out, I add images of paintings, photographs, and other things you might find interesting along our journey. You know the kiosk outside the labyrinth in the movie The Shining? I've heard it said that that's an actual accurate map of the maze. I guess the devil is in the details. So again, a famous labyrinth turns out to be not as it seems. Knossos being a palace built over older buildings, creating the historical illusion that looked like a labyrinth. And from The Shining, a set and model. Check out the great Shining Labyrinth model that Adam Savage created. It's a very interesting breakdown on the build. The link is on Whispering Gallery Stories on Facebook. Did you learn about the golden mean, aka the golden ratio, in art or design school in composition class? It turns out it's used in garden design as well. I was looking up a nice simple definition for you and got lost in the Fibonacci sequence. Quit laughing already. Think about the center of sunflowers and the compartments of a nautilus shell as we go math for a moment. Let's Talk Science tells us, quote, "It turns out the Greeks were right about beauty and math. There is a common element in many of the things humans describe as beautiful. According to mathematicians as far back as the ancient Greeks and Egyptians, this element is a ratio of 1.618. This is called the golden ratio. Next up, math is fun shares. Quote, "The Fibonacci sequence is the series of numbers 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34. The next number is found by adding up the two numbers before it. The 2 is found by adding the two numbers before it, 1 plus 1. The 3 is found by adding the two numbers before it, 1 plus 2. The 5 is 2 plus 3, and so on, which is how we get to the spiral of the golden ratio," unquote. Right after graduating from high school, my friends and I went to a place high on the mountain bench called Sidewalks. At least that was the name that was going around. Once you were up there in the dark on the sidewalks, they were laid out, it seemed like a maze, with evergreen bushes overgrowing them, as though it really had once been a hedge maze. This was one of those places teenagers would talk about, and you might never find it, but we did. Probably once part of someone's garden. You may have heard about corn mazes or sunflower mazes, which are seasonal and created from plants. That's more of what you find around Utah. Also, there are perennial labyrinths. Let's take a quick sampler of a few of the many mazes that are out there. There's the Dole Plantation, which is at the Pineapple Garden Maze at the Dole Plantation on Oahu, Hawaii. Sunflower mazes in, I think it was in West Jordan, Utah, my niece went to. There are hay bale mazes and cornfield mazes in the fall. There's a peace maze in Northern Ireland, UK, with 6,000 yew trees. A lavender labyrinth in Shelby, Michigan. A hedge labyrinth of Villa Pisani, Straw, Italy, was created in 1720. The Ashcombe Maze, Mornington Peninsula in Australia. This one looked like they had a frisbee golf net or catch or something in part of the maze, which is kind of a fun idea. This one, the growth of the bushes had narrowed passageways as well. You'll find labyrinths in mazes in China, England, Italy, US, Austria, Australia, UK. So I wanted to talk about listener choice, the top 10 stories on the Whispering Gallery. At the top of the list of Whispering Gallery listener favorites is number 1, Vaporous Prophecy and Gossamer Magic. Number 2, The Proof is in the Pudding Paintings. Number 3, The Sweet Mystery of Sugar Skulls. Number 4, The Hope Diamond. Number 5, Secret Recipes of Unusual Headstones. Number 6, The Cursed Painting. Number 7, Scary Tales of Pigments Past. Number 8, The Ghost of the Clay Tablet. Number 9, Watching Eyes. And number 10, Yoshitoshi's 36 Ghost Stories. Let's continue with the story. The exterior of the hotel in the movie The Shining was the Timberline Lodge in Oregon. What you're seeing is not in Colorado. The Outlook Hotel in Colorado was used for the made-for-TV movie. So the purpose of walking a labyrinth, labyrinths have a center, not necessarily an end. You follow it and you will get there. So this could be considered mindful walking or walking meditation, maybe. Here's a poem called Garden Maze by Doyen Lungua. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Garden Maze. Pathways unrecognized send me in circles. 1,000 ponds, bridges, and trees identical. A baroque fractals of emerald hue. Wandering gnomes that stare with eyes of death. Follow my movements without moving. What magic this, that I be lost in myself alone, and still so unfamiliar with its 1,000 convolutions, yet the water is peaceful. Fields of flowers are my bed. From here, should I never leave? Would solve a problem or two? Like figuring out where I am, where I've been, where I'll go. The garden maze has no exit. Like the earth itself, we have no wings, or else fly too close to the sun. The gravel, the grass, the leaves, the trees, these are my thoughts. These are my memories grown. The labyrinth is my soul. This is where we're going to wrap up our investigation. If you have any stories from your studio, art class, galleries you've visited, or museums, I'd love to hear about it. And if you've heard of any spooky art stories or art history stories that are fun and spooky, I'd love to share them with everybody. You can send your suggestions, stories, or just say hello at whisperingcontact@gmail.com. The writing and production of the Whispering Gallery podcast and copyright are held by Suzanne Nicolaisen. If you would like to support the podcast and the books I'm buying for research, please visit buymeacoffee.com/SuzNickArt. SuzNickArt. Thank you so much for your company today and for listening. And remember, keep your flashlight close and your spooky art stories closer when visiting the Whispering Gallery. Take care.